thank Holly for singing that lovely piece to us, "All the Way My Saviour Leads Me." Now, if you have the scriptures before you this evening, turn again to 2 Chronicles and the chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. We're going to read this evening from verse 20 to verse 30 for our Bible study. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, and the verse 20. "And they arose early in the morning, and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude. Behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And then the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Baraka unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem, psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about." Amen. We end our reading at the 30th verse of the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Trusting the Lord will bless the reading of his word this evening to our hearts. Verses 20 to 30 of this chapter record our 11th study in the life of King Jehoshaphat. And I have entitled the message tonight, Jehoshaphat, His Conquest or His Victory. We learned last week that facing a crisis and under threat from Moab, Ammon, and Edom, a crisis which threatened his and his nation's existence, having fasted and prayed with his people, Jehoshaphat and his armies went forth to face the foe in obedience to God. And the Lord gave him a great victory, as we have read off tonight in these verses. They triumphed and they conquered the enemy through the Lord. These verses probably record what could be described as Jehoshaphat's finest hour, his finest moment as king. Yes, he did other great and notable things in his reign. We have mentioned in past weeks his evangelism of the cities of Judah, the teaching of the word of God throughout those cities. We have mentioned how he strengthened the nation, particularly in the early days of his reign against the enemy. But this victory, I believe, ranks as his best moment, because it was a victory that was won through dependence upon the Lord and through the Lord alone. It stands in stark contrast to his previous experience on the battlefield. You'll remember that the last time that Jehoshaphat was on the battlefield. It was at Ramoth Gilead. He aligned himself with Ahab. He entered affinity with Ahab. In disobedience to God, he went to battle with those who were enemies of the Lord. They assumed victory. They assumed that victory would be won over the Syrians, but they suffered a humiliating defeat. You see, when we disobey the Lord, when we step out of his will, when we go forth with the enemies of the Lord, no good will come of it. And the Christian, and particularly the church, needs to remember that. No good will come of any battle fought for the Lord when we align ourselves with the enemies of the Lord. The odds might seem stacked in our favor, but no good will come of it. And we will suffer defeat when we step out in disobedience to the Lord. What a contrast now, however. Jehoshaphat goes into battle alone. By the word alone, I mean that Judah stood alone. Their army stood alone. He didn't seek help from Egypt or from Samaria or from some other nation. They went as the people of God alone to face the foe. They went in obedience to God, for the Lord told them to go and face the foe. They went as the underdog. The odds were stacked against them. There was a danger they would become a prey to the enemy, be swallowed up by the enemy. But God gave the victory. You see, if God be for us, doesn't matter who is against us. If the Lord is with us, then though our numbers be much smaller than the enemy, like Gideon, just 300 men, he slew and overcame the Midianites. So our numbers may be small. We may stand alone. But when we go in obedience to God, the Lord will give us the victory again and again and again. If God be for us, who can be against us? And Jehoshaphat won the victory because he went forth in obedience to the Lord. Now, there's four things about his victory or his conquest over Ammon, Moab, and Edom in this passage that I want to emphasize tonight. I want you firstly to notice there was preparation. Verse 20 and 21 record the preparation that the army made prior to going into battle. You'll see in verse 21, it says, Jehoshaphat consulted with the people and he appointed singers unto the Lord and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Before they went to face the foe, they gave thanks unto God, they praised him, they blessed him, for the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And it reminds us and it teaches us that no matter what we face, no matter what circumstances we are in, we are to bless and praise the Lord at all times. As the redeemed of the Lord, as those that are saved by grace, who have tasted the good things of God and the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, our cry should be, I will bless the Lord at all times. And prior to facing the enemy, the great danger that they faced is Judah here took time to praise and to thank Almighty God for the mercy that he already showed to them. But it's really verse 20 that I want to particularly emphasize in relation to the preparation that was made before this battle. You see, Jehoshaphat rose early in the morning. It was an important day, and when there's an important day, work to be done, tasks to be wrought, and particularly in the service of the Lord, it's good to rise early. And it tells us of numerous people who were children of the Lord who rose early to serve the Lord. And Jehoshaphat rose early in the morning, and the armies went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And then Jehoshaphat stood before the army, and he gave what we might call a clarion call. He gave a rallying speech before the troops, the army, would face the enemy. And at the very center of that speech, that rallying call, is a great theme of faith. Look at the end of verse 20. Believe in the Lord. That's what he's saying. It says, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I have something to say to you before you go forth to fight the Lord's battle and to face the Lord's enemies. There was a word from the king, and it's good to have a word from the Lord and a word from the king before we go into battle, before we set forth in the service of the Lord. And what was that word? It centered upon faith. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. The basis of fighting the foe was faith. Faith in God's word. Do you notice that he said, believe his prophets? In other words, what his prophets had said and written by inspiration. I have no doubt that it was referring specifically to what Jehaziel had said. We considered last week the comfort that this man brought to the king in the crisis when he had a word from the Lord, and the Lord said they wouldn't have to fight in the battle, that he would deliver them and he would give them victory, but they would have to face the foe. And now as they are about to face them, Jehoshaphat reminds them, believe the word of the Lord, believe what his prophets have said. There's a couple of lessons there that we should note and mark about faith. Faith is based upon the word of the Lord. It's not based upon what our imagination hopes will come to pass. Faith is not a blind hope in what we want to happen. You've maybe heard Christians say, well, we just have to trust the Lord, it will all work out well in a certain situation or a certain matter. That's not biblical faith, because faith is based upon what the Word of God says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hear what the Word of God says, we believe it to be true, and we act upon it. And what Jehoshaphat is really saying to the army is this: the Lord has said you'll win the victory. The Lord has said you'll not have to physically fight this battle. Now you believe it. And the basis of their faith was the word of God. And the basis of our faith. Listen, if we have faith simply in our own imagination or what we might like to happen, it's not worth tuppence. Faith is based upon the Word of God. And if you are believing that what God has said in His Word will come to pass, then you can be sure and certain that it will come to pass. And you can stand upon that Word. Something else we should consider about faith. We should trust the Lord in danger as well as peace. It's easy to say, trust in the Lord and what he has said when the sun is shining and all is well. It's easy to say we trust in the Lord when we're living in peace, our income's guaranteed, our children are doing well, and we're living happily. But that's not what the army of Judah was facing. The army of Judah at this time was facing a foe that was numerically greater, that was superior, and was threatening to destroy them. Jehoshaphat said, believe the Lord, and believe his word, and believe his prophets. And when the foe comes against us, and it is a mighty foe, and we, like Jehoshaphat, don't know what to do, and the foe seems too great for us, even then, we need to exercise faith in God's word. He will not give us a prey to the enemy. He will build his church. He will minister to our needs, and he will meet our needs. And in this preparation for battle, Jehoshaphat said, believe the Lord and believe his prophets. Child of God, in your Christian life and service for him, do you go forth? Do you go forth to face the foe, believing the Lord, believing in his word, resting assured that he has promised us victory. The second thing I want you to notice, there was not only preparation, there was intervention. Look at verse 22. It says, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord. Well, let me just read the verse again. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. This is another example in the scripture of direct divine intervention. When God defeated the enemy for the benefit of his people, without his people having to do anything, without his people having to strike a blow, without his people having to unsheath the sword, the Lord intervened directly and conquered and defeated the enemy. Some commentators believe there was an angelic host that ambushed the enemy. But it would seem more like the case that, as you read the passage, that the children of Ammon and Moab turned upon the children of Edom. There was an ambushment for Judah, but Edom seemed to come across it, and they attacked the Edomites, and they attacked back, and they all attacked each other, and it seems to be that they slew one another. But the Lord intervened. He turned them against each other. He turned their own ways and their own armies against each other, so that they slew one another, and the children of Israel were victorious. The Lord is able to intervene directly in the circumstances of his church. When his people seem to be on the verge of defeat and extinction, the Lord can directly intervene to save his people. Didn't he do it at the Red Sea? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And as the children of Israel stood still, the Lord opened the Red Sea and they went through. And Pharaoh's armies, what happened to them? They were drowned in the Red Sea. Israel didn't have to lift the sword, but they were delivered because the Lord drowned the enemy in the Red Sea. Didn't the Lord intervene directly in the days of Mordecai? Oh, Haman, that wicked man, was preparing to beseech the king that he would put Mordecai to death. But the night before he came, the king couldn't sleep. The Lord gave him a bout of insomnia. And he said, read me the chronicles of the nation. And he read about how a steward in the palace saved the king's life because he uncovered a plot that Bigthan and Teresh had made to slay the king. And the king asked the question, has this man Mordecai been rewarded for this act? The answer came back in the negative. No, he hadn't been. And so the king rewarded Mordecai. The very day that Haman was going to plead with the king to put him to death, the Lord intervened directly. Didn't he do it in the days of the apostles? Peter was kept in prison in Acts chapter 12. And Herod was going to slay him the next day. And the people of God were praying that night for Peter. And God sent an angel. And as the guards slept, they unloosed Peter's bands and they took him out the doors of the prison. And they took him all the way to John Mark's mother's house. He directly, divinely intervened. When his people looked to be on the point of extinction, and he saved them. He did it in church history. The Lord's still the same. He's been the God of his people through all times. One incident in church history comes to mind. When Protestant England was under threat from Catholic Spain, and the Spanish Armada was sent to invade England and to overthrow the Protestant monarchy in England. As that armada approached England, and as they entered the channel, and as they made their way to do their dastardly deeds, the Lord sent a storm and wrecked their ships and turned them home, and he destroyed them, and he preserved his people, and he preserved his cause in England, and he destroyed the enemy. He can still do the same today. When his people set themselves like Jehoshaphat to solemnly and seriously seek the Lord, he is the God who changes not. I am the Lord, I change not. Neither are the sons of Jacob consumed. He can still directly, divinely intervene in the affairs of his church so that he gives us the victory over the enemy in this generation and he prospers his church in this age. May the Lord intervene in our generation. May he do it again. Can I just point out before I leave this thought, notice the outcome of his intervention was the enrichment of his people. Look at verse 25. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. On the verge of extinction, yet the Lord not only delivered them, he enriched them. And they were 3 days collecting the jewels and the spoils of war. And the Lord gave them more than they could carry away. He's the God that gives us much more. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this, the prophet told King Amaziah. And when they thought they were in danger of extinction, the Lord gave them enrichment and provided for them. And they had abundance of wealth. That's what the Lord can do for his church. He can so enrich us. Oh, I'm talking now about spiritual blessings. I'm talking about establishing us in the things of God and giving us abundance of good things when the enemy would want to completely destroy us. Oh, may the Lord intervene on our behalf and turn what seems to be to our detriment into our good. And preserve his cause and his church on this earth. There was preparation centered in faith. There was intervention divinely sent from God to enrich and save his people. Then there was celebration. Look at verse 26. And on the fourth day, so 3 days they've gathered the spoils of war, but on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the place was called the valley of Baraka unto this day. There they blessed the Lord. The fourth day was spent praising and blessing the Lord. They praised the Lord before they went into battle. They praised the Lord when the battle was over. And it is right for the people of God to mark and to remember the victories that God has given his people. Psalm 92 verse 1 tells us, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Child of God, can I say to you, when the Lord gives you a blessing, when the Lord gives you a victory, mark it, remember it, and give the Lord thanks for it. But it's not only right for the people of God to mark the personal victories. It's right for the people of God to mark the victories God gives his church and his people collectively. You go to the end of your Bible. I'll not turn to the place tonight. But in Revelation chapter 19, you read about the fall and the judgment of Babylon. that great city and that great system that is contrary to God, that is against God, with its idolatrous worship and its antichrist spirit. And in Revelation 17, you read of spiritual Babylon. And then in Revelation 18, you read of literal Babylon, the city. But when you come to the start of chapter 19, you read of Babylon's great fall. And the people of God, what do? Whenever they see Babylon falling, I said I wasn't going to turn to it, but I am going to turn to it. Revelation chapter 19, it tells us, and after these things, after Babylon the great had fallen, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, and he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they say, Alleluia, and our smoke rose up forever and ever. And as that antichrist city and system are sent to hell and the smoke rises up, the saints shout and celebrate with a hallelujah, praise unto the Lord. They'll rejoice, they'll glory in that day when ultimately the enemies of God are cast down and defeated fully and finally and forever. Really, that's what Jehoshaphat's doing. He's blessing and thanking and praising the Lord. Can I just show you where he did it? There are two places that he did it. There's the Valley of Baraka. Baraka is a Hebrew word and it simply means blessing. And I said it's good to mark the victories and mark the place of blessing. Because when they came away from the battlefield and took the spoils of war, they came to the valley and there they praised the Lord and blessed the Lord. And they named that place the Valley of Blessing. Because there they blessed the Lord for his victory. It's a wonderful study in Scripture to go through the valleys. There's the Valley of the Shadow of Death. There is the Valley of Megiddo or Armageddon. And there's many other valleys in the Bible. This is the Valley of Blessing because it's there they blessed the Lord. I wonder, do you have a Valley of Baraka in your life? Have you places where you have blessed the Lord for specific victories? You see, when they left the Valley of Blessing, having blessed the Lord there for his victory, look at the end of verse 28. It says they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. They then went to the house of God in Jerusalem to praise and thank and bless the Lord. And can I just point out that if you have a spirit of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord in the public place for some victory in your life, it will lead you to the house of God to give praise and honor and thanksgiving to God. See, there are those who tell us, well, we can thank the Lord wherever we are. We can praise the Lord wherever we be. And we don't need to come to a church building. We don't need to assemble with the saints of the Lord in the house of the Lord. We can praise and thank the Lord anywhere. When you are truly thankful for the blessings and the victories the Lord gives to you, it will lead you and it will prompt you to come to the house of God to continue to praise and worship and thank the Lord there. That's what happened in the life of Jehoshaphat. At his finest hour, when God gave him this wonderful victory and he's paused in the valley of blessing to bless the Lord, he then made his way to the house of the Lord and he praised and blessed the Lord there. My friend, don't tell me you're blessing and praising the Lord during the week when you're absent from the house of God on the Lord's day. If you're blessing and praising the Lord during the week, you'll want to be and you'll be at the house of the Lord on the Lord's day once shutdown is lifted. I know we're living in unique times. You haven't been able to come to the house of the Lord. We've been broadcasting online, but I'm making the point generally. Don't say you bless and praise the Lord during the week when you sit at home on the Lord's day. Because a spirit of praise and thanksgiving in the valley of Baraka will lead you to the house of God. Praise and give thanks unto the Lord there. There's one final thought I want to put to you. In this conquest or victory, there was preparation, there was intervention, there was celebration, and then there was pacification. The Lord gave him peace. Look at the last two verses we read, verse 29 and verse 30. And the fear of the Lord was in all the kingdoms of those countries. When they heard what the Lord, that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. The Lord can so strike fear into the enemies of God's people that they want to live in peace with them and give them their liberties and their peace. That's what's happening in verse 29. Those other nations round about Judah and Israel, the Lord put the terror, the fear of God into those countries when they realized God had taken his people, a little nation, an outnumbered nation, and he had given them the victory over this vast host of Ammon, Moab, and Edom. And it struck terror into them that they were quiet. They left Judah alone to live in peace. That's what God can do. He did it to Jacob and for Jacob. If you want to cross-reference Genesis chapter 35 in the verse 5, this will be the last verse we'll look at tonight. But the Lord did the same thing for Jacob after Simeon and Levi had slain the sons of Hamor and Shechem over Dinah. It tells us in verse 5, and they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. God intervened, and God struck fear and terror into the cities round about that they didn't pursue after the sons of Jacob. They lived in peace with them. Purity in Jacob's life. It's interesting to read that passage in Genesis 35. You discover that Jacob put the idols out of his house. Purity led to power, and power led to peace. The same was true of Jehoshaphat. He got right with God. He led the nation back to God. He led the nation in prayer unto God. God gave them power in the battlefield after purity of life, and then they had peace with their neighbors, and they were permitted, or their neighbors lived in peace with them. Is it not the very opposite today? The world doesn't fear the church. The world looks upon the church and God's people as weak, insignificant, a prey to be attacked and put down. They want to deny us our liberties. They want to deny us our freedoms. They want to snuff out the public witness for the gospel because they don't fear the Lord. They don't see God's power in the church or in the lives of his people. And therefore, they feel we're an easy prey. Oh, that we'll get the order right. We'll get right with God and purity in our lives. We'll pray unto the Lord as Jehoshaphat did. We'll experience God's power on the field of battle with the enemies of the Lord. And then we will live quietly, godly, and peaceably with all men, spreading the gospel and ministering the word. The great conquest that Jehoshaphat experienced and enjoyed, may the Lord grant to us such victories, and may the Lord grant us such blessings. Next week, we will conclude our series in the life of Jehoshaphat, looking at the conclusion to Jehoshaphat's life. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. I'm going to water my throat before I give the announcements. A few things just to set before you. Do remember the weekly broadcast, Sunday morning, 11:30, sermon audio, and 7 p.m. as well. I will be the preacher at both services on the Lord's Day. And the following Sunday, the 21st, will be Children's Day. We'll be having an online Children's Day morning and evening. The Sabbath School children will be taking part in the morning, and the children's meeting children will be taking part in the evening. The speakers on the 21st of June will be Philip Harton and Jonathan Smith. Can I also say that after a very blessed and successful drive-in service on Sunday, the session have agreed to a few more drive-in services. The next one, please take note, and could I ask you please to spread the word, and maybe spread the word especially to those who aren't able to tune in to the live services. Maybe your neighbours are that, but they do have transport and they would perhaps like to come along to the drive-in service. The next drive-in service in the church car park will be on Sunday the 21st of June at 3:30 p.m. We hope a fortnight after that to have another one. We'll bring you the details of that closer to the time, but those are the announcements tonight, and we trust that you'll keep them in mind and pray for them. A few matters for prayer. Do pray for the broadcasts and pray for the services, the online services and the drive-in services. Pray for the sick and the elderly. Remember to pray that soon we'll be able to get back to Bethany. The restrictions are being eased, and I think we're going to see things move a little quicker now, God willing. So do pray that soon we'll be back in Bethany, and pray that the Lord will remove this pandemic and that he will continue to speak to the nations and to the people. I'm going to lead in a word of prayer, and after that, then we will close. We encourage you to have a short season of prayer yourself, or a long season if the Lord gives liberty in your own home. Let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for the lives of these men of God. They encourage us because we know as we read their lives they were not perfect. But yet they were men of God. And they sought thee, they proved thee, they honored thee, and they received the blessing of the Lord. We pray that we also will have courage to believe thy word, to face the foe, to receive the victory, to enjoy the spoils, and, O God, to be enriched in soul and spirit. And then, Lord, to live that quiet, peaceable life, whereby we'll be able to spread the glad tidings all around that Jesus saves. We do pray that thou will bless the ongoing broadcast ministry. Undertake, Lord, for the media team. Bless, Lord, the preaching of the word on the Lord's day, the morning and the evening. Bless the weekly Bible study to the edification of thy people. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember the online Children's Day services. Bless the media team as they put all the little clips together. Undertake for the brethren who will bring the word. And Lord, we do ask of thee that thou wilt save the children of this church. May they be saved young in life. May they be sure they're saved. May they live for God. May they resist temptation. And may they go through with God. And may we see a generation rise up that will bless and praise the Lord in all his fullness and for all his goodness, to take the gospel message to Portadown that Jesus saves. Remember those of our loved ones who are out of Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou will convict them of their sin. We pray that thou will trouble them in their lost estate. We pray that thou wilt save them by thy grace. Step into their lives. Reveal thyself to them. Move in their hearts. Bring them to Christ, we pray. We ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to, Lord, speak to men and women through this pandemic. We thank you, Lord, that it seems to be on the wane. We thank you for a fourth day with no deaths of COVID-19 in Northern Ireland. And we pray, Lord, that as the restrictions are eased, people will be sensible. But, oh Lord, we pray that as businesses begin to reopen and as, Lord, other areas of the economy have been given dates to get back to functioning again, may the church be able to get back also. Pray that you'll take away our fears. Pray that you'll give us wisdom. Bless the session and the committee of Bethany Church and give us wisdom, Lord, to implement good and proper procedures so that we can observe social distancing when we come back to Bethany. And Lord, we pray that there be a great valley of blessing when we return to bless and praise the Lord for his goodness. We prayed for thy protection, and thus far thou hast protected us. We prayed, Lord, for prosperity, and thus far, Lord, you have prospered us. We pray that you'll yet prosper the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. And we pray yet, Lord, that thou wilt give us spiritual increase, and God will increase his church and do mighty and wondrous things. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember those that are sick, the aged and infirm. Draw graciously near to them, comfort them and help them. And we pray for every other faithful witness for Jesus Christ. Bless it, Lord. Bless the church at large and give it a measure of increase in these days. We pray this in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. God bless you and good night. God willing, we'll see you on Sunday morning.